conclude our series on being fully engaged. We've talked about being fully engaged in our walk with God, being fully engaged with our family, being fully engaged with our friends, and being fully engaged with our church. We talked about the most important relationships we have and how we want to be fully engaged in those relationships and not just kind of sit back and let them happen. This morning we're going to address another one that I think is of vital importance, and that is being fully engaged with my community. And toward that end, I wanted to show you something that I shared with the deacons the last time we met. Hadn't intended on sharing this with you guys yet until we kind of polished it up a little bit, but we'll talk some more about it later. I want to go ahead and share with you what I was talking with them about. You know what a plumb line is. Kevin, you may have to help me today. You know what a plumb line is. You put the plumb bob on the bottom of the string, you tie that thing up somewhere, and what that does is that it shows you straight up and down. It shows you a clear line that you know is not leaning, it's not crooked, it's straight, and you know that it is completely up and down just like it's supposed to be. And once you get that line, then you can build from there and know that what you build is going to be square and true, right? With that in mind, I have kind of come up with plumb lines for my ministry so that whatever I do, however I lead, I need to make sure that whatever I'm involved in is square and true, and it lines up with those things that are most important in my ministry. And so I wanted to share with you some of the plumb lines that help me make sure that everything else lines up. Make sure that what we do and what we say and where we're headed is square and true. So for me, really quickly, some of those plumb lines, one of them is that God deserves our best. I'm not real interested in mediocrity and saying, well, we're just a small church in a small town, so this is good enough. Good enough isn't good enough. God deserves our best. And so what we do, we need to start thinking in terms of how can we do and give and say participate? How can we give God the best that we have to give? Another plumb line that kind of that I use to see if everything else measures up in what we're trying to do is I believe that we do church best when we do church in small groups. In the large worship time, this is valuable and meaningful and important, but we're not able to connect with one another. And it is in that connection that we actually do church the best. And that connection with one another happens in small groups. And so we're really going to start trying to help folks find small groups in which they can plug in and get connected to other people, because that's where we really share life with one another. And so one of the plumb lines of my ministry is that we do church best when we do it in small groups. Another one of the plumb lines that I use, I think, is that worship is about God and not us. Worship needs to be relevant and sincere, but ultimately we have to remember that when we come to worship, we need our focus to be on God. It's all about Him. It's bringing glory to Him, praising Him. Worship should be about Him. And then one more that I want to share with you, and this leads us into our message for today, and that is that I believe we should have a positive impact on our community. And I mean that as individuals and as a church family. Each individual believer should have some kind of positive impact on his or her community. And as a church family together, we should have a positive impact on our community. And that's one of the things that just guides who we are and what we do around here. So I wanted to share that with you because I think it's that important. And that leads us right into this week's message, being fully engaged with my community. And I'm guessing, Kevin, that this battery has decided not to be nice today. So I'll be in touch with you, buddy, all right? Being fully engaged with my community. The verse, the shortest verse of the Bible, what is it? Jesus wept. Everybody knows that. Did you know that the Bible says Jesus wept two different times? There are two different occasions in which we learn that Jesus wept. Look with me if you have your copy of Scripture. We're going to look at these real quick. The first time that we find out that Jesus wept, it was because one of his best friends, a very close friend, died. Lazarus died. And that's where we find the shortest verse of the Bible. After Lazarus died, Jesus appears. There's Mary and Martha and all the Jews with them. And when Jesus wept, it was not because of his sense of loss. In this case, it was because of his empathy for the others who were weeping. He wept because he had compassion on the others who were so sad. If you look at the story, you'll see that. But I want to show you the other time that Jesus wept. Look at Luke chapter 19 at verse 41. Are we there? When he approached, he saw the city and wept over it. When he saw the city, he wept over it. The first time with it we find out he cried was when he cried because people were sad and mourning the loss of their loved one. And he hurt because they hurt. The other time he cried was when he looked at the city, his community, if you will. And because of what he saw there, he wept. Well, what would make him weep? What would make him cry at a time like that? If you'll back up with me here in Luke, I'll show you what it is that made him weep. We're in chapter 19 right now. Turn back over to Luke 13 at 34. Luke 13 at 34, and you're going to find out what would make Jesus cry when he looked out over Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13 at 34. Oh, Jerusalem. Notice this is in red if you have that one of those versions that puts Jesus' words in red. This is Jesus speaking. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. That's why he weeps over Jerusalem, because they continue to turn their back on the things of God. And here is Messiah sent by God, the Son of God, who wants to take care of them like a mother hen takes care of her little babies, but they won't have anything to do with it. And so as he looks over his that surrounding community, he weeps. With the example of Jesus in mind, I want us to think about what it would mean to be fully engaged in my community. Jesus cares about his community so much, he cries that they won't let him help them. What might it mean for us to be that fully engaged in our community? Well, it starts when I know that God has a purpose for me. To be fully engaged with my community, I have to start here. I have to start knowing that God has a purpose for me. I believe that you live where you live on purpose. Did you pray about where to live before you moved to your present spot? Probably most of us did. And I'm convinced that God has a plan, a purpose for each of us wherever we are. God put you where you are because He has a plan to use you where you are. There is a purpose for every life, and God places us in the places at the times in which we can best fulfill that purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 reminds us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A lot of folks love that verse as long as they get to stop halfway through. They love that verse that says, we are God's handiwork. Man, we're God's masterpiece. God created us in such an amazing way that we can celebrate, God created me, I'm special. That is absolutely correct, and it's only half of the verse. Keep going. Why did God create you special? Why did He make you His masterpiece, His handiwork? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The reason He made you special, the reason He made you a unique work of art and put you in the exact place that you're in now is so that you could do good works in Jesus' name. You see, it's not about you. I'm sorry. It's not about you. He created you, gave you gifts, gave you abilities, talents, interests, put you in just the right place at the right time because He has a plan. Did you see that? The works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were born, He had a plan. His plan involved you where you are now, and so He created you as the perfect person to carry that plan out. He didn't create you to be a special work of art to be put on a stand and say, look at me. God created me. He created you as a perfect work of art so that you could serve Him. Know that God has a purpose for me. Then once I get that down, I'm ready to move on. As I become fully engaged in my community, I have to first of all know that God has a purpose for me, and secondly, I need to see the community as real people. We can't view community as this vague kind of concept of that this is just where I live. We have to get past just thinking that there's somebody out there who's going to kind of run things and I just kind of live and do my thing. Instead, we have to see that the community is real people. If we can begin to see our community as real people, perhaps we could learn to have the compassion that Jesus had when He saw them. He knew they were hurting, and it drove Him to weep. On another occasion, Jesus had been working with the crowds, and He was exhausted. He got so tired working with the crowds that He said, okay, guys, I'm going to get in the boat. I'm going to go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to have a little retreat time so I can withdraw for a little bit and catch my breath. Jesus gets in the boat and He goes to the other side of the lake. And you know what happened? Before He landed on the other side of the lake, the crowds had all gathered over there. And what did He do? In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, the story is recorded for us. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. It was His time for retreat. He was trying to get away from the crowd. But when they followed Him, He landed, there they were. He didn't see them as an interruption. He didn't see them as a nuisance. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. People, real people with real needs. We can become fully engaged in our community when we start getting out of ourselves enough to see the folks around us as real people with real needs. And then I'd say to you as well, remember that engaging is not easy, but it's worth it. Engaging is not easy, but it is worth it. I love this time of year. I love high school football. And it was so exciting to be able to go to the high school football game Friday night. The season has started again, and it's just so fun. I love being there. I get so excited about watching high school football. But you know what I've noticed? There's another group of people who enjoy it on a different level than I do. I have a friend who is the father of one of the team players. And judging by his behavior, I can only assume that he gets a whole lot more enjoyment out of that game than I do. Parents just have it, enjoy it on a whole different level. But you know, there's another group that enjoys the game, gets more out of it. They experience it on a different level than even the parents. And that's the coaches. You see those coaches running up and down that sideline? They're having a heart attack out there. They're screaming and yelling. Those that still have hair are losing it all right there on the field. Man, they're in that game. But you know, there's another group that even gets more out of the experience than the coaches. They enjoy it on a different level. They understand it in a more personal way. It's more real even to them than anyone else. Who's that? The people in the game. The players. They get more out of it. They enjoy it more. They experience it on a more meaningful level. And what else? They're the only ones who get hurt. Right? Engaging is not easy. Good chance you're going to get hurt. But it's worth it. I get to announce Little League games when we have tournaments and playoffs and things like that. When West hosts those, I get to announce those games. I've always enjoyed announcing games. It's a lot of fun for me. But every time I announce a Little League tournament, a Little League playoff, somebody gets mad and yells at me. It's true. It's the only place in the world that I get yelled at. It happens every time. And the last time they yelled at me, I was feeling sorry for myself, and I thought, you know, I don't have to do this. I do this volunteer. I bring my own equipment, I haul it up those stairs, I set it up myself. I spent my money on that equipment, I spend my money on the software to run it all. Nobody pays me a cent, I don't have to put up with this. And while I was watching that game, two kids got hit by a pitch. And I started thinking about those kids that got hit by a pitch. The next time it was time for them to bat, you know what they did? They got back up to bat again. And I got to thinking about those kids that got hit by a pitch. I didn't get hit by a pitch. The parents who think they know everything about baseball didn't get hit by a pitch. Because we're safe in the stands. The only ones who got hit by a pitch were those who were in the game. And what they figured out is it's worth it because they get enough enjoyment, they experience it on a deeper level, they're ready to play again. In Luke chapter 10, we were right here in Luke. If you're still open, look with me. If not, that's all right. But in Luke chapter 10, I want to share with you the first three verses. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Before Jesus got there, he sent 70 disciples ahead of him. Their purpose was to interact with the community to prepare the way for him to come. Sent them out two by two. And look what he said to them. Verse 2. He was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Go and interact with the communities and prepare them so that the laborers can come and reap the harvest. Go to the communities and interact. Be engaged with the community, but know that I'm sending you as lambs among the wolves. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. If we continue in this same chapter and jump down to verse 17, look at what happened when they came back. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They returned with joy. It's not easy, but it's worth it. There is joy when we do the hard work of engaging in our community. And then finally, and we're done with this, commit to love. If I will know that God has a purpose for me and then start to see the community as real people, and I can remember that being engaged is not easy, but it's worth it, and then if I'll commit to love, it brings it all together and I can serve faithfully. When they came to Jesus and they said, "What's the most important commandment out of all the 600 and something rules that we have? What's the most important commandment?" You remember what he said? It's recorded for us in Matthew 22. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then what did he say? "And the second is like it." The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now understand, the reason love your neighbor is a command, the reason it's a command is because love has very little to do with your feelings. You can't command a feeling. You can command an action. It's a command because it's based on an action, not a feeling. Whether you feel it or not, you love your neighbors. You find a way to do that, and you become fully engaged in your community. And in just the last few seconds that we have together, I want to encourage you on some specific ways that you can engage in our community. Be a part of what's going on. Get out and be a part and get to know the people. Go to the high school sporting events. Go to the concerts. Go to the performances that our students are involved in. Be a part of community events. Ashley reminded me just a little while ago, and I thought it was so wise. She said, "It's ironic that on the day that we talk about being fully engaged with our community, a lot of people aren't here this morning because they're fully engaged with our community." That's true, isn't it? And Westfest is a good way to be involved. Doesn't mean you have to do everything that happens out at Westfest. But you can be involved because did you know when you buy a ticket to go to Westfest, you are supporting the library and the volunteer fire department and the EMS and the Ministerial Alliance and the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the Kiwanis Club, and it goes on and on. And when you volunteer time out there, you're multiplying that investment in the community. Get engaged in what we're doing. Go to National Night Out on October 3rd. Downtown, at City Hall. National Night Out. That's the whole point. Let's everybody as a community get together and get to know one another so we can take care of each other. That's the point. National Night Out, October 3rd. First Baptist Church needs to be well represented there because we need to make a positive impact on our community. Did you know that you have a city council in West? If you live in the city limits, did you know you have a city council that meets every month? I don't think very many people know it because nobody shows. They meet the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock at the community center. Show up and find out what's going on. Those of you who live in the district, the school district, that's even bigger than the city. The city's about 2,800. School district is over 5,000. Did you know you have a school board that meets and talks about things every month? Second Wednesday of every month at the administration building. Show up and find out what's going on. Get fully engaged with your community because we're called to have an impact on the world, to be salt and light. If the salt never meets the meat, it doesn't do any good. You can't be fishers of men if you don't ever go to the lake. Get out there where the people are to fish. Be involved. Get engaged. And one of the greatest ways that you can do that coming soon is the reading program at the elementary school. Sign up as you leave. I know you don't have all the details yet. Give us your number. We'll call you. We'll give you all the details. And then we'll see if that'll work out for you. What a great way to be engaged in your community and helping kids learn to read.